As we prepare for Holy Communion, I'd invite you to turn with me to this section of Revelation, John's Revelation, where he introduces himself and writes to the churches and to us. Let's hear the Word of God first. So it begins, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who is, who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Here ends the reading of God's holy word for us today. Thanks be to God. This introduction by John is a sort of standard, but yet not standard in some remarkable ways, which we'll take a look at in preparing for Holy Communion. But I want you to think about these bobbleheads to begin with. You know, they sell, I looked it up on the internet, bobblehead Jesuses. Some people will like stick them to their dashboards, you know. They cost about, as I Google it, $10. One advertisement for this product says, stick them where you need forgiveness, which I think could be a rather dangerous thing to do. Goes on to say, he will guide you through the valley of gridlock. I guess that's for your dashboard. The dashboard, Jesus, has sort of become a cultural phenomenon. In the song Plastic Jesus, Billy Idol sings, with my plastic Jesus, goodbye, and I'll go far with my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car. Paul Newman sang it in the movie, I don't know if many of you may remember it, but I do, Cool Hand Luke. Anybody remember that? Okay, not totally out in the weeds here. The words, as Newman sang it, begin, well, I don't care if it rains or freezes, long as I have my plastic Jesus sitting on the dashboard of my car. To lots of people, Jesus, church, and Christianity are cultural trappings, but not life-changing realities. They're sort of like the plastic Jesus stuck on the dashboard of their car. Author Josh McDowell, who's a really wonderful apologist for Christianity, warns that many people today see Jesus, as he quotes, like a plastic statue, smiling, robed, a halo suspended above his head, molded into the plastic. But this superstitious or sentimental view of Jesus is a myth that won't do. Jesus of Nazareth was no plastic saint. He's a real-world Savior. David Jeremiah remarked, it's not important whether you have Jesus on a dashboard, but it's vital to know he's living in your heart. He isn't plastic. He's powerful. He's not small. He's infinite. He's not a good luck charm. He's the risen Lord of time and eternity. And that's what John is talking about. This is the very point that John drives home in his greeting to the seven churches of Asia, the Roman province of Asia, which we'll kind of look at those churches in the future. But here, I just want to focus on his how he speaks of God and of Jesus. It's a form of a typical letter. In fact, a commentary I've been reading for this in preparation to speak through Revelation has said that not only is John a prophet, but he's also a letter writer. So you could consider, in a way, the book of Revelation to be a prophetic letter. And this introduction is a sort of typical introduction, just like many of the letters of Paul. In 1 Corinthians, for instance, chapter 1, Paul begins, "Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ, Jesus, by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, who was with Paul, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus, their Lord and ours." Now here it is where he reflects John. He goes on to say, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." The 2 Corinthians is nearly identical. And it ends, "Grace and peace to you." Just as John here says, "Grace and peace to you." In fact, all of Paul's letters begin with the element of grace and peace offered, just like John does here. So that's important, then. The grace and peace that comes is only through our God and Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. If we seek it elsewhere, you know, people do seek it elsewhere. But they will never find, we will never find peace in our hearts and the grace to go forward without it being anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a big difference between, though, Paul's letters and here John's. John spends no time at all declaring who he is, introducing himself. He spends all his time in the beginning and throughout focusing on God. Paul's letters were most often defensive. People questioned his authority. And so he began by asserting his authority. You see here, Paul called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. This is because people were saying, "You're no apostle." People were saying, "You have no authority." But John, on the other hand, has no need or desire to defend its authority. He has no need or desire even to really identify himself other than say, he's John. Communicating the revelation of God and of Jesus Christ, his Son. What he's concerned about is God's authority. The phrase, to him who is, who was, and who is to come, echoes the divine name, you know, which is the unpronounceable name, YHWH, in the Old Testament, the one revealed to Moses in the burning bush. And so it communicates this phrase, as does that Hebrew word, which is really untranslatable in one phrase, the I am. It could also mean the I was, who was, the I will be, who will be, the I am, who I am. All these are then communicated here by John with this one phrase, who was and who is to come. It emphasizes the timelessness of God's existence, transcending time and space itself. Those are things that God created. But nothing created God. To say that God, by nature and definition, is beyond time and space is also to say that God is unchanging. J. Ramsey Michaels, whose commentary I've been consulting, in a footnote says that the English translations can't really fully communicate the way that John is saying this in the Greek. For those Greek and grammar geeks among us, just a step aside a moment, I think this is interesting. John's grammar even makes a point. Greek normally would call for what's called the genitive case. Things that we would say, let's say, he threw a ball, okay? The nominative case is he. The genitive case is the object, a ball, okay? So Greek would normally call for the genitive, apo, is the word. But the way John communicates who was and is to come is always in that nominative case, the he threw the ball. God is never the subject, the object. God is always the actor. Never the object, but always the subject. Even more interesting is the phrase, the Alpha and the Omega. The first letter of the alphabet and the last in the Greek. The beginning and the end. This phrase is used 5 times throughout this book, Revelation. Twice here in the 4th verse and in the 8th verse. And then in chapters 11, 17, 16, 15. Wait a minute, that's not 5, that's 4. Somebody's got to fact check me. At the end of the verse, though Jesus is being identified as well as this, And Revelation 21, verse 6, it says, he said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without cost. And in Revelation 22, verse 13 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You see here the echo, identifying not only Jesus as the Son, but also as the Lord God Almighty, the YHWH. He was and is to come. Isaiah 41 verse 4 says, who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and the last, I am He. I'll look at the churches John writes to in the coming weeks. But for today, as we come to the altar for Holy Communion, keep this in mind. The God we worship is always trustworthy. His nature, the core of his being and essence, is unchanging, always will be. He was and is to come. And so he is worthy of all the honor and glory, power and authority. Everything that we could ever think of ascribing to the Lord, he is worthy of. Everything that we could ever offer to him, he is worthy of. As the song, the great hymn goes, take my life and let it be always and ever unto thee. Father God, as we come to share in this meal, this remembrance of you, make us worthy by your blood, which has freed us and made us to be a kingdom and priests for you. Amen.